Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So first I'd like to say I'm very happy to be home here in New Dwarka. I was on the road for 3 weeks, Turkey, Ukraine, and Poland. In the old days when we didn't have the internet, I used to always tell preachers, please come and show presentations so devotees can get an expanded view of ISKCON. Now with the internet and Facebook, it's not really necessary, but devotees still ask me to do it. So I'll leave a little time at the end to show a few pictures. But you can see most of it on my Facebook page. All right, so we're continuing reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 18, and today's text should be number 5. Okay, so Parikshit, Maharaj Parikshit, cursed by a Brahmana boy. Tavat Kalir Na Prabhaved Pravishto Apiha Sarvataha Yavad Isho Mahan Urvyam Abhimanyava Ekarat Tavat Kalir Na Prabhaved Pravishtopi hasarvataha Yavadisho mahan urvyam Avivanyava ekarat Tavat kalirna prabhavet Pravishtopi hasarvataha Yavadisho mahan urvyam Abhimanyava ekarat Tavat kalirna prabhavet Pravishtopi hasarvataha Yavadisho mahan urvyam Abhimanyava ekarat. Please chant. Vaishnavins, Tavat Kalir Na Prabhavet Pravishto Piha Sarvataha Yavadisho Mahan Urvyam Abhimanyava Ekarat.
All
Some synonyms, Tavat, so long, Kalihi, the personality of Kali, not, cannot, Prabhavet, flourish, Pravishtaha, entered in, Api, even though, Iha, here, Sarvataha, everywhere, Yavat, as long as Ishaha, the Lord, Mahan, great, Urvyam, powerful, Abhimanyavaha, the son of Abhimanyu, Ekarat, the one emperor. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse: as long as the great, powerful son of Abhimanyu remains emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. Please repeat. As long as the great, powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there is no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. Srila Prabhupada's purport: as we have already explained, the personality of Kali had entered the jurisdiction of this earth long ago, and he was looking for an opportunity to spread his influence all over the world. But he could not do so satisfactorily due to the presence of Maharaj Parikshit. That is the way of good government. The disturbing elements like the personality of Kali will always try to extend their nefarious activities, but it is the duty of the able state to check them by all means. Although Maharaj Parikshit allotted places for the personality of Kali, at the same time he gave no chance for the citizens to be swayed by the personality of Kali. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashyatane Sharani Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Unmilitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Tapadakalam Shri Guru Unvaishavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Mando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Maharaj Parikshit was quite a young man at this point. He voluntarily decided not to counteract the curse of this Brahmin boy who was under the influence of Kali, therefore not acting properly. He decided not to counteract. He took it as a sign, as we've discussed previously, that Krishna wanted this to happen. So, but what is one supposed to do as death approaches? He even asked that question to Shukadeva Goswami when he finally arrived on the spot. What is the duty of a person who is about to die? Now, who's not going to die? Everybody's going to die. So it's all of our duty to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is an answer to that question. What is the duty of a person who's about to die? Death is always imminent. We cannot deny it. We can't avoid it. It's inevitable. It's not pessimistic to think like that. It's realistic. Sometimes people say, you pessimistic people, you just concentrate. Yeah, we know everybody's going to die, but in the meantime, let's have fun, let's enjoy. But again, we don't always have notice like Maharaj Parikshit does. At this Bhaktisangama festival, 7-day festival, wonderful, thousands of devotees come together to chant, dance, take prasadam, hear philosophy, and repeat, do it over and over again. So there was one family, or actually two families, husband and wife, and another husband and wife, or husband and wife to be, and children in a car. They left. The festival is held in a place called Koblevo, which is near Odessa. And they were going to a city which is more or less in the center of Ukraine called Nikolaeva. You may have seen the announcement on Facebook and elsewhere. Anyway, they're in the car going home. They left the end of the sixth day. The seventh day is just a morning program and then everybody leaves. So they left that previous evening. Driving home, so the husband is driving, the wife is next to him, and their daughter, 11, 12-year-old, sitting on her lap, and then in the back seat is the other couple. And if you've driven in those countries, I've driven personally in many of those countries, driven, not just been driven, I've actually driven there. So most of their highways is just two lanes, one lane in each direction. And, you know, you get some slow vehicles in front of you, and people get antsy. They want to pass, so they take a lot of chances to pass a big truck and pull back in time before you. So somebody had apparently done that. They pulled out, and so the driver of the car, the devotee, saw that this car is coming towards him. So he swerved, but in swerving, he lost control of the vehicle and swerved back into oncoming traffic. Boom, on the passenger side. So the two ladies died. The 12-year-old girl is in critical condition. She's in a hospital. Broken pelvis, broken so many bones. The two male devotees, they got away with minor injuries. So my point is, death doesn't announce itself, even for us. It's not that because you're chanting Hare Krishna, necessarily Krishna's going to tell you, you know, tomorrow after Gaurarti, you're going to leave your body. It's not like that. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready at any moment. That's the point. The Prabhupada has been trying to drive home to us repeatedly throughout his... Now, as I said, Maharaj Pariksit was a young man. You know, he, with full vigor, was ready to oppose Kali. But Srila Prabhupada did the same thing. He was opposing Kali like anything. Just look at his bravery. At age 70, he left India at 69, but he turned 70 on the ocean, coming here. And into the teeth of Kali's kingdom. At Maharaj Pariksit time, as Prabhupada said in the purport, Kali was there. He was on the planet, but he couldn't get a foothold, because the citizens were properly being led by the one Ekarat, the one emperor, Maharaj Pariksit, who had full control and would not allow the citizens to be influenced by Kali. So what is this influence of Kali? We know. We have these four regular principles of freedom that we vow to follow to counteract Kali. Kali means the... just the antithesis of these four principles that we follow. No mercy. Right? No austerity. No truthfulness. No cleanliness. This is Kali. This is the influence of Kali. And we can see in our own lives and the lives of others how much they're under the influence of Kali by the presence of these things. One is merciless. Example of mercilessness and death. So, I stopped in Turkey on the way to the festival in Ukraine. 5 days in Turkey. Wonderful devotees. I'll show you a few pictures. Turkey is a Muslim country, so to preach there means you have to be a little bit bold and brave. So anyway, we'll discuss that a little more later. But wonderful family there. And Sri Krishna, the main devotee there in Istanbul, the temple president and the main driving force behind him, wonderful devotee. He came here a couple of months ago because he works for an international shipping company and they send him all over the world. And they also used to send him all over his own country. And he's personally responsible for a lot of devotees who came to Krishna consciousness, because wherever they sent him, he would start preaching and try to influence people to become devotees and start making devotees. And his company, they know. The president of the company even says, this man, wherever he goes, he spreads Krishna consciousness. So, he and his wife, Krishna Mala, have a nice two-story apartment. They're renting, but it's a very nice apartment. Three bedrooms, two on one level and one on the main level. And most of the ISKCON gurus and preachers who transit through Istanbul stay with them. Very nice couple. They're very accommodating. So I stayed at their place and then went to Ukraine and then to Poland and then came back and, you know, asked what's going on, what's the news. And the news was, at least part of the news, their next door neighbor, who they were not very familiar with, but, you know, hi, how are you, like that, Hare Krishna. The wife, a mother of three, was involved in an affair. The husband leaves the apartment, which is right next to theirs, goes downstairs, goes on the street corner right in front of their building. The lover of the wife comes with a gun, shoots him dead. Boom. This happened just a day or two before I got back to Istanbul. Kills him. Fortunately, there's a police station a couple blocks away. They heard the gunshots. They came. They arrested him. So this is material life in a nutshell. The wife is thinking that she's having fun on the side. But she's just creating a hellish condition for herself, her husband, her kids. Can you imagine now? The only remaining parent you have is the mother who is responsible for your father's death. How do you think those kids are going to feel towards her and towards life in general? So this is material life. We're always trying to squeeze out some pleasure from that which is not pleasurable. And when the repercussions come, we wonder, why me? Why it happened to me? In Poland, they happened to be in the third canto. And so I gave class, many classes there. And they're in chapter 30. They just got into chapter 30. It's such an eye-opening chapter. If you haven't read that chapter in a while, third canto, chapter 30, Kapila Dev instructing Devahuti. And he goes through the life of a sinful householder. Their activities are sinful, and then what happens after death. Very, very informative to reread that, to remind ourselves of what Prabhupada saved us from. Because most people are in that category. They don't even know they're committing sinful activities, just in their normal daily activities of work, of eating, of play, whatever. Sinful. And the Yamadutas are just waiting eagerly for the time to come when you have to leave your body. And they arrest that soul, take him to Yamaraj. And it's vividly described. Of course, we get an even more in-depth description in the fifth canto of all the various hells. But in that 30th chapter of the third canto, Lord Kapiladev really lays it out. The activities of a non-devotee, householder, and what happens afterwards to the man and the woman who engages in illicit activities and eating, you know, all kinds of abominable things. And just a wake-up call for us. What Srila Prabhupada has saved us from. And what he's given us the facility to assist in saving others from. Very, very, very instructive reminders there. That we have to be very serious. Like I said, death can come at any time. Either as devotee, you're driving home from a wonderful festival, had a great time, boom, death comes. Or some ordinary people, next door neighbors, you know, death comes. The guy thought he was going to work. He was going downstairs to meet his death. Boom. Completely unexpected, I'm sure. He didn't expect that. You know, probably didn't even know his wife was having an affair, but this crazy man came, shoots him to death in front of his own home building. So at any moment it can come. But whether it comes by, you know, some horrible way like that, accident or gunshot, or you die in your sleep at 108, many people think that's wonderful. You lie down, you don't open your eyes the next morning. The real deciding factor is what kind of life did you live? What kind of life did you live? So Prabhupada has given us the means to live not just good lives, but living on the transcendental platform, as Ananda Kirtan Prabhu was pointing out. The activities of Krishna consciousness puts one on the transcendental platform. If we stick to the outlined, recommended platform that's been given to us in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So our own Lord Brahma says, yes, Kali is there, and Kali's influence is certainly there. We don't have to look very far to see it. But do we want to get away from Kali's influence? If we don't, then we fall into the category, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kali Chela, where you look like a devotee of the Lord, you wear kuntimala, you have japa beads, and you have tilak, but the activities are still under the influence of Kali, and therefore that's called Kali Chela, a servant of Kali. Somebody he may look like, just like we have in our state at large, city at large, so many of people who dress like police officers, and they may be real officers, they're not faking it, but because they're not upholding the principles of the department, they cause more trouble than they save people from. In other words, they're wearing the badge of authority, and they're supposed to protect the people, but they're actually squeezing the people and cheating the people. And so nobody appreciates that, a police officer who's supposed to protect you, but instead they're squeezing you and cheating you. So similarly, we're supposed to be the spiritual police officers, to go out there and dress like this so people know. And whenever I travel, unless it's absolutely necessary not to, which is very rare, I always dress like this. And people ask, you know, what is that? One lady came up to me and said, wow, that looks really great. What is it? So it gives you a chance to explain. You know, I'm trying to be a devotee of Krishna. And, you know, Hare Krishna, can you say Hare? You know, it gives you a chance to interact with the public in a Krishna conscious way. And we should always think, even when we're not wearing tilak, we should think that we're wearing tilak. And that will remind us to act like devotees, not like just a shadow of a devotee. So Lord Brahma says, after reciting the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Iti shodashaka namnam kali kalmashanashana. Natak parataropaya sarvavedeshu drishyate. He says, if you study all the Vedas, you will not find a better methodology for counteracting Kali than the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So everything that we are doing, all of our festivals, all of our restaurants, all of our temples, all of our activities are meant to get people to chant Hare Krishna. Because it's the only means, the only way by which they can be saved in this age of Kali. Otherwise, there is no hope. There is no hope. And it's not a question of socioeconomic position. It's not that people who are living in some barrio in some South American country are going to hell, but the ones who are living in very, very pristine, nice cities and villages and towns in Switzerland. No, Prabhupada even said that when he went to Switzerland, he noted that they spend so much time maintaining very beautiful homes. That means attached. So after death, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to come back to that home. They're so attached. But not necessarily in a human form where they can say, hi, how are you? No, it's going to be as a roach or a rat, something that's attached to that building. So this influence of Kali and this impending death is there for everyone. It's there for everyone, ourselves included. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready, as the previous verse of Purport pointed out, to be focused on the Supreme Lord at the time of death. Etavan sankhya yoga abhyam sadharma parinishaya janmalabha parakpungsam ante narayana smritihi. That's the whole punch line of the whole Vedic culture. Ante narayana smriti. Now, how you get to that remembrance of Lord Narayan Krishna, it's not dogmatic. Etavan sankhya, if you do it by analytic study of the material energy and everything that's going on in the world. Yoga, you do it by some yoga process. Swadharma, practicing your varna and ashram properly. Janmalabha parakmusam, the goal and the best thing you can attain by practicing any of those systems is ante narayana smriti, remembering the Lord at the time of death. So we have to ask ourselves every day, am I closer to that point where I can remember Krishna at every moment? Because again, anything can happen at any moment. When I came, my next door neighbor, Ikaraj, I always leave my key with him so he can water my plants and, you know, just in general take care of stuff. So I asked him, what's going on? And he related the story of this crazy guy who came into the temple and he was watching from his home. He had to come over here and tackle the guy and beat him up. So at any moment, you may be here peacefully chanting japa. Fortunately, that guy was not armed, but we're in Kali Yuga. We've seen how many religious institutions have been attacked by crazy people with guns. You have to be ready. It could happen to us. We have to, first of all, you know, maybe have a little tighter security situation here. But individually, we have to be ready to go at any moment because it's Kali Yuga and the death does not come announced. It's always unannounced. You may be the best driver. Like this devotee was apparently a very, very good driver. He was a taxi driver. That was his car. That's how he made his living. driving that car as a taxi. So he was a very experienced driver, very good driver. But at any moment, even if you're the best driver, the other people may not be such good drivers. I learned to drive in New York City, and the mantra there is, you should drive in such a way that you expect all the other drivers on the roads are stupid drivers, and they can do anything at any moment. In other words, be always aware, not just of your own control of your own vehicle, but what other people are doing in front of you, beside you, behind you. Because, yeah, they're pretty foolish. Nowadays, there's a law, no texting and driving. But I see them every single day, just from my desk at BBT, driving just to this corner here. Most of the time, they have one hand on the wheel, and they're texting with the other hand. But yesterday, I saw a guy with no hands. Both hands texting. He's coming down Watsiga Avenue towards the corner. No hands on the wheel. He's texting and looking at the phone, texting with both hands like this. Crazy, crazy people out there. So you have to be very, very careful when you drive, especially when you're driving other devotees, like those who drive the Sankirtan van, the Sankirtan book distribution vans, or the Harinam van. Be very, very careful. Very, very careful. And Jadumna Swami, and there are other gurus also have that policy that the person who's going to drive can take as much rest as they need. Everybody else, we say no more than 6 hours. But if you're going to drive a van full of devotees, take 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever it requires, so you can be awake and refreshed and not have an accident because you're falling asleep at the wheel. So it's so important, driving. There's so many crazy people on their own. Anyway, here, Maharaj Pariksit is so powerful. Kali can't spread his influence. And we know, after he leaves, gradually Kali comes in. But the means for counteracting Kali's influence is still here. It began Lord Chaitanya, his Hare Krishna movement, began 500 years ago. Lord Chaitanya spread that. He wanted it spread all over the world, and Srila Prabhupada has done that. And as aspiring servants of Srila Prabhupada, we should just continue. First of all, as we say in the West, make sure you're part of the solution, not part of the problem. You can't really help other people if you're not interested in helping yourself. Doesn't make sense. Why should anybody follow your recommendation if you yourself don't follow the recommendation? So that's the first step, to become a solid part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And then we can combinedly, no one of us should feel that it's up to us. We should think that we're part of a team that Prabhupada has created to go out and save the world from impending death, rebirth, and again dying over and over and over again. So we can stop here. Any quick questions, and then leave some time for just showing a few pictures and one video. Yes, Ananda Kirtan Prabhu. Somebody's bringing it, I think.
In the middle of your class, you were saying how that there's no mercy, there's no cleanliness, there's hardly any truth left. What's the other one again?
Austerity.
But also it says that in Kali Yuga, there's only one leg of the bull standing, which is truth, but even that seems to be diminishing like anything. But if I've thought about this in the past, and it seems like, yeah, there's hardly any truth left, but the amount of truth left, there's also that amount of mercy and austerity and cleanliness. Like, some people have mercy, some people live a clean sattva-gun life. So it almost seems like they're all kind of like equal. It seems like they're level.
Not really, because what passes is mercy, let's say. Somebody sees a bird with a broken wing, and they take it home and they help to fix it, or they create a campaign, save the whales or save the dolphins. That's obviously some mercy. But it's not complete. It's always incomplete if you don't have the full Vedic viewpoint of life. It's always incomplete. So on the one hand, many people, not all, but many people, they will go out of their way to save a stray dog and try to find it a home, but then they go to McDonald's and, you know, you know, burger. They form a long line around In-N-Out Burger here. You can't even get to Sprouts. It's such a long line going around the block constantly. So it's misplaced. It's incomplete. To be completely merciful means, first of all, you have to accept the mercy coming down from the Lord and save yourself. But they're not interested in that. You'll see many of these people who are, again, they're very big heart. That's nice. Big heart wanting to save the dog who's suffering on the corner. But what about suffering human being and the suffering cows and your own suffering? They don't see themselves as suffering. They think because they have enough money in the bank and, you know, and they go to the gym every day that everything's all right. But it's not. So their mercy is incomplete. Their truthfulness is not complete. Because to be truthful, to be honest, means to understand, I'm suffering in this world. If you keep thinking everything is all right, every time somebody asks you, a book distributor, hey, how's it going, man? Oh, I'm all right. No, you're not all right. You're not all right. You're being dishonest. If you really sat down and reviewed your circumstances, you'd realize that I'm not all right. And death is, imminent at any moment. The government is not doing everything in every sphere of life. There are problems. How can you say you're all right? That's dishonest. So they're not really honest. They're not really clean. Cleanliness, as we know, means all 9 gates of the body have to be cleaned with water every day, at least once a day, if not more than once. That's external cleanliness. What to speak of internal cleanliness means you have to be following this recommended spiritual path for this age. So any one of these things that you look at, it may seem at first glance that this person is honest or they're merciful or whatever, but if you look hard enough, they're not.
That makes sense. Thank you. But I was just wondering then, why does it say that the last leg is truth? It seems like there's no truth either, except for like the Vaishnav tradition.
Yeah, because there are some honest people. There are a few, and they're, you know, who are really honest, like yourself and devotees who are practicing. You're being honest. I'm suffering in this world. I need a way out. I need a guru like you were saying yesterday, how Navayagadra Maharaj practically ordered you shave up, whatever. And you were honest enough to understand, yeah, I need to do this. So that's honesty. That's real honesty. There are a few people like that left on the planet. After, if you're honest enough and you take to the path, then these other things will come. Then you'll become really merciful, really austere, really clean, because you'll understand what it really is. So the little bit of honesty that's left can be a gateway to developing the other qualities that are required. Okay, anything else? All right, I'm going to just give you a minute to set up here. I'll show you just a few pictures and one video from the trip. Hare Krishna. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It's getting late. Let me just set up here. No. Do me a favor, though. Can you bring my glasses from over there? Thank you. Okay, so this is the center in Istanbul. Turkey is a Muslim country, so they can't openly have... The Hare Krishna movement is not registered as a religious movement there. It's a Muslim country. But under the guise of yoga, so they have a yoga center. They actually teach yoga classes there, but what they're actually teaching is Krishna consciousness. And there's a Govinda's restaurant. very very popular. They do quite well. While I was there on the last evening, just as an example, a young couple came in. The girl is a yoga teacher, and her boyfriend she's getting him into that. And so they were looking for a vegan or vegetarian place to have a dinner, and they just Googled, and they found Govinda's, so they came there. And actually, I was speaking that evening, and they stayed for the class and the kirtan and everything. And they said, I told them, keep coming. And they said, yes, we will, for sure. So. And then while I was there, the first stop, we participated in a two-day yoga festival. And that's Nishringa Krishna and his wife, Krishnamala. They're the driving forces there. There's only a handful of devotees, but they work very, very hard. They do a good job. This is after one evening program that we did at the yoga center. Get an idea. The gentleman on the right, he's actually the secretary from the Bangladeshi consulate, and he's coming every day. He really loves the devotees. And this is Krishnamala and Nishringa Krishna's Sadbuja deity in their apartment. Now we're in the festival, Bhakti Sangama festival. The first night the lights went out, so some of the devotees very intelligently took out their smartphones and their flashlights to keep light on the deities. This is Havi Prabhu. He led off the first evening kirtan. And very talented devotees. All the musicians there, very talented, wonderful. And Sivaram Maharaj is there, and Naranjan Swami is the main force behind the whole thing. And Devamrita Swami was there, Pralananda Swami. You can see Sarbatma in the back there. Pralananda Maharaj. Shrutakirti was there, Chandramouli Maharaj. A lot of senior devotees. Banu Maharaj. And here Naranjan Maharaj is officially welcoming everybody. Now these deities are 2 meters plus tall, which means 6'7" or taller. And they're so beautiful. Now there's some devotees doing Harinama on the street of the town near a little local town called Koblevo. And you can get an idea of the amount of devotees. This is Guru Puja. Devotees coming off a flower. And then the evening program here, Sivaram Maharaj and Bibi Govinda Maharaj leading, and this Madhav playing Mridanga. Indradyumna Maharaj was there. Like I said, I have a lot more pictures. I hear more pictures of those deities. It's just wonderful. They're so attractive that many people are approaching Naranjan Maharaj, many devotees. Can we get a set of these deities? Imagine dressing those deities over there. They're as big, if not bigger, than Madhava in Mayapur. So imagine the mukuts and the garlands, and it's just beautiful. Now we're in Warsaw. Warsaw, Govinda Tower, much smaller, but they're also very beautiful. And very merciful. They have like a 2-acre property there, so they grow practically all their own flowers and a lot of veggies and stuff. So this gives you an idea of the size of the temple room. This is Guru Puja Kirtan. And then that's it. So now I'm just going to show a little video of the evening music chanting, and then that'll be it.
Bhakti by Bob Mars.
actually makes those drums. They're clay drums, but he makes them himself in Ukraine. Her name is Janneke. She's been here. She's a lawyer. She's been here to New York. This year, the performers are behind the dancers. Previously, the performers were on the same stage as the deities, looking out. But one sannyasi, I won't name any names, started stage diving into the crowd. So the organizers decided that next year they wouldn't have it like that anymore. And now the performers are behind the devotees dancing, which is a little strange, but whatever. Anyway, I have many more videos and pictures on my Facebook page, so you're welcome. Check it out. Hare Krishna. I have a camera.
Sun Yoga Center on top.
Where's that? Istanbul.
Istanbul. Turkey.
Yeah.
give two brand new